Let's turn into our Bibles today, and we'll go to 3 John 2. We've been talking about a number of things over the last little while. You remember what we talked about last Sunday? 3 John 2. Last time we talked together, understanding our place. In Christ, we talked about that. We talked about in Him the other time. And overcoming offenses on a couple of Wednesdays. Just to remind you of what we've been covering. I got a third session on offenses, and we'll continue that. But right now, I want to talk to you. I believe that the Lord will have me to share this with you about success or failure. And go to John, 3 John 2, or 3 John... Yeah, there's only one chapter, so we say 3 John 2, meaning verse 2, because there's only one chapter in there. Let's go ahead and read 3 John 2, and then Psalm 35, 27, Psalm 35, verse 27. Success or failure, God's word concerning our successes or failures. Beloved, I wish above all things, some translation says pray or desire, so they all kind of have the same meaning in a shade, a little bit different. Beloved, how many are beloved? God loves you. And if you say, well, nobody loves me, well, God loves you. He says, beloved, I wish above all things, or I pray above all things, or desire above everything else that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You know, they call this the prosperity bunch. They call us the people of that have the prosperity message. Well, I believe in it because the Bible talks about it, and we need to prosper for God. You know, if you don't prosper for God, you can't help anybody. You can't help your kids. You can't help the church. You can't give anything. You can't even get across town. You know what I'm saying? You can't do anything. So you need to have funds. That's just one area of prosperity. I'm going to talk about the whole area here, but. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we can have some more saying on that. But you see the word prosper in there. We want to talk about it. Psalm 35, 27, the King James Version says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. We want to talk today, I want to mention the point of what I'm trying to get across today is that it's God's will that we enjoy success in every area of our lives. It's God's will that we enjoy success in every area of our lives. And so to introduce, we need to say that we've all have experienced failure of some kind in our lives at some point. We can just go back and rehearse in our minds. There's areas in our lives that we haven't had success in. After giving your life to Jesus Christ, can we expect even greater success or measure success in our lives? In this text, it is quite evident in 3 John 2 that it's God's will for us to be prosperous and to be successful. The scripture says in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, study the book of instructions. The King James says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. The New Living says, study this book of instructions. How many people know that the Bible is the book of instructions? It says continually, not just, when you have an emergency. When you're gotten really sick and suddenly you have to study the Bible, or you gone through a crisis of some sort, and, some people when they're really sick, suddenly they get interested in the Bible or they call somebody spiritual. So we need to be in the Bible continually receiving instruction. It says this book of the law or to study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. So day and night would mean that you're thinking about God's word all the time. What will happen? So you will be sure to obey everything written in it, only then you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. See, God wrote to, or at least Joshua writing this to us, God instructed him and said that if you will get to the book of instructions, you get to the Bible, get to the Word of God, meditate on it, think about it, make sure you think about it. Don't just, you have to deliberately think about success in terms of what God says about any area of your life. Meditate on it. Meditate on it so that you will sure to obey. If God is telling you something, make sure you're obeying what the instructions say. But it's written in the Bible. It says, only then, you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. I believe that God, we need to look at the scriptures and begin to meditate on it and see what God's word says, has to say about it. We need to consider what he says first. Even anybody that's not, you don't have to be old and, well-versed in different things. You could be just a young person and still have success in every area of your life if you'll go to the Word of God. We'll see this example over here in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5 and 6. I'm reading the New Living Translation. And all the people of Judah crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son, Uzziah, as king in the place of his father. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and restored it to Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecholiah, and from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. What did he do? He did what was pleasing. Everybody say, he did what was pleasing. In the sight of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. No, it's good to find out people that are godly people that we can follow and look at their lives and see what they're doing and why they're having success. So this man evidently followed, someone, his father, Amaziah. And the Bible says Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah. It's good to get to the people of God and the church of God, even in this day, seek out godly men, as this young fellow did. He says, who taught him to fear the Lord or fear God? Just as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Can you see this scripture? It says, as this young man began to seek after people who are role models, those who are examples, godly examples in life, sought after them, sought God, sought the man of God. It says here, as he sought God, he was taught to fear God or to respect God. When we respect God, we respect his word. We respect the Bible. And the Bible and the scripture says, as long as he sought the Lord, as he sought God's guidance for his life, it says that God gave him success. If we want success, like Joshua, if we want success like Uzziah, we are going to have to consider God first in our lives. We have to think about what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. I imagine there's lots of things you could be doing aside from coming to church tonight. You could be sitting at home. I find there's some people that want to seek God only when they're on the deathbed, only when they're very sick or flat broke or just ready to go to detox or something. And they want God in their lives. If they had God in their lives, they wouldn't be going to detox. And maybe they shouldn't have died early. God wants us to live long and healthy and strong. But sometimes we get out of God's will in certain areas of life. No, it doesn't have to be complete sinning, like, gambling and whatever sins we think is awful. Killing people or causing, adultery, whatever. But sometimes it could be for you just an area that you have not obeyed God in. Receiving godly guidance, just in getting instruction in the things of God. And so, Matthew chapter 6, Verse 30 to 34, the New Living Translation, tells us that if we seek God, everything we seek for, with our neighbors, even our neighbors who are prospering in the world, they're having success. You say, well, how come they're not living for God? I'm living for God. I'm not succeeding like them, and they're succeeding. You have to understand, God knows all the hearts of people. God sees everything in the perspective. They might look like they're prospering. They might look like they're doing good on the outside. But maybe on the inside, they're dying. They're just barely hanging on, barely breathing, hardly sleeping. Can't eat, can't be still because there's so much turmoil in their lives that they're going to afraid to lose what they have or lose someone they have. You know, if you have to be afraid that someone's going to lose, you're going to lose your wife or lose your husband or girlfriend, there's something wrong with that situation. Amen. So we need to understand God knows the best for you. And sometimes the things that you want is not what God wants for you. But you say, well, God is trying to take the fun out of my life. Maybe I should get rid of God and do my own thing. Ever done your own thing? It's not a good thing. Let's go to Matthew 6, 30 and 34. If God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. So people worry about different things happening in their life, and they're just so worried about they're not going to have their needs met. First of all, if you're following God, you will have your needs met. But if you're not following God, I would gather you would feel fearful because you're not doing all you can naturally to make yourself prosperous. But when you follow God, prosperity will come with that if you seek him first. You know, I don't know about you, but I always try to put, when I was just coming in the Lord and just brand new in the Lord, I remember being in university. I had lots of things to study, lots to consider. And my Wednesday night, you know, come around church night, and I said, well, I could hear study here for 3 hours and undisturbed, but church is on tonight. So I went to church, and I went graduated with honors, university. I came to church, put God first, and had good marks and was able to go on to my graduate studies. And it's funny, I was just getting, my daughter is doing her some pre-work with her a law degree, and she asked me some things. And said, Dad, can you help me out with some work here with this project, you know? And how do you do this proposal for you know, this thesis and so on? I said, man, it's over 34 years ago. I don't even remember what I did. And so time went by, just like that, poof. And where did time go? But, we was telling her about different things, you know, and she's searching out, very busy. So I always considered God first. And I went home and I did my homework so quickly. And I got all my answers. I had my essay done. Had it all done. It all worked out pretty good. Put God first. And I learned to put him in first in every area, even in my finances back then. And I was able to tithe and give God offerings. And I never did without, praise God. I mean, I didn't become a millionaire overnight. But I had all my needs met. I wasn't afraid because I was doing everything I could to exercise my faith. So seek God and pursue him and put him first. And the rest of the things that Jesus said is going to be added to you. Seek ye first, and it'll be added to you. Say, added. Some people think that I seek God, he's going to take away everything from me. Take away my car. Take away this. Take away that. No, he's going to give you everything. You know, when we think about success and prosperity, is it God's will for us to succeed in everything? When the Apostle John wrote to his friend Gaius over here in 3 John 2, it specifically says that he wanted us, or wanted him, to prosper and succeed in every area. Is it really God's will that we have success in all areas of our lives? Many people say, is there really such thing as being a failure as a child of God? When we fail at something, what does that mean if we fail at something? Sometimes people have a failure when to receive healing and they die and they get injured or something happens to them. What about those situations? What about landing an awesome promotion and you want to get promoted but you didn't get promoted and sometimes you got promoted. Getting a great job, maybe. You want a great job? Maybe everybody wants a good job. They want a good paying job. Not just a job, but a good paying job. And what about marrying somebody? And you failed to marry the person that you wanted to marry, but they didn't want to marry you. and you prayed about it. And said, God, I want him. And he doesn't want me. And I want her. And John can tell she looks at me and she likes me. But she doesn't tell me. You know, so what should I go to him and ask, you know? So people are saying all kinds of things. You know, they don't marry the one they should. And sometimes people are with someone for a long time and they think, well, I'm going to marry them now. They should marry me because I've been waiting for him for a long time and I changed my hairstyle. They should like me now. But they still didn't. And they, you know, so on. So I remember my wife, I looked at her about, you know, whether she liked me or not. I was scared, you know. But she said I was so sheepish when I asked her out that I was just a, you know, scary cat. But she knew exactly what I wanted. I wanted to have a date. So, and then it's been some 30 years now, and I've found success in that area. Praise God. Amen. Well, don't look that mad at me because you'll have your chance too. You act like you're jealous. Praise God. Come on now. Praise God. Some people are just looking mad, just looking straight ahead. So some people are afraid, they haven't, for some reason, they didn't get healed for some reason. Well, it's a matter between them and God. They need to find out. Maybe they haven't studied healing like they should have had. And maybe they have received more condemnation about healing. And they need to get that out of there before they can receive something. They don't feel good enough, or the devil tells them you don't deserve anything. So they have this problem. What does the Bible say concerning the subject of success? When we experience a failure, what does it mean? Should we always expect success? Sometimes we should receive believe that, you know, expect failure. And so we need to find out what God's word has to say about any of these areas. We can prosper in so many ways. You know, people take that narrow view of prosperity. It means financial. Well, we all want to, you know, have money and have plenty enough to meet our needs and also to give and to give to the kingdom of God. I think we should not just believe God for our own needs, but we should believe God for the needs of the church so that we can benefit and be a blessing to other people. You know, thank God that somebody gave enough money and we can come into a nice hall like this and sit in some nice seat, and we got heat and we got cold and air conditioning and so on. It's a nice place, but somebody paid for this, and you're sitting in it. But thank God for that. People have given, and some sacrificially, and so on. So it's revealed in 3 John 2 that the word prosperity here. What does that word mean? It says the word prosperity. Well, that Greek word, prosperity, there's two words in there, prosper, prosperity. God said, I wish that you may prosper, the King James says, is the word eudo, spelled E-U-D-O-O. It simply means to succeed in reaching or to succeed in affairs, including business. And this word comes from two Greek words. The first means to accomplish or to do or to make finish and to progress further. God wants us to proceed and progress further in every area of our life. He doesn't just want you to have, you know, one successful venture. He wants you to have ongoing success in every area of your life. If you fail to lose weight, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, we talked about that many times over here. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying that sometimes we hear about this every year, about this time, oh, I've lost this weight, and I think your husband lost how many, 68 pounds or something like that? No? About that? Yeah, he lost quite a bit. In fact, you probably can't see him right now. He's sitting right there. He said, where's Jerry? I haven't seen him around. Well, don't you know he lost all that weight? Yeah, he's just a little fellow right now by this side. But he's, you know, he's working so hard. He's working around here and comes in here in the morning and cleans up. But he lost all that weight, and that's good. So he had success in it. But he's hungry. I would have taken him out for a good beef dinner when he's done. I told, remember Caleb? I told him, you know, when you lose that weight, I'll get you a brand new suit. And he did lose that weight. And I don't know if I gave him that suit or not. I think I did. I gave him some, yeah. Praise God. So and people they gain, they lose, and they gain, so on. But thank God we can be successful. Amen. And I was hearing, you know, Keith Moore's wife, and she tried every diet in the world. She's like almost 300 pounds woman. But she said, the best diet that worked for me is the Bible diet. He said, that's the only success I had, is learning to follow the Word of God, learning to follow the Spirit, and learning to follow my spirit, my inward. So the word prosper here in the Greek simply means everything will go well with you. And you will succeed in reaching your goals. And the fire has to do with the affairs of life and your businesses and so on. So, we read in Psalm 35:27, he said, let the Lord be magnified, the second portion of that verse, which had the pleasure in the prosperity of a servant. God wants us. God has pleasure when we succeed in life. He gets blessed, sort of thing. When we succeed, He's happy about it. He wants us to do well. It's like you would with your own children. If you had a child, you want them to succeed. You don't want them to fail. You want them to have happiness and enjoy the things of their labor. So a synonym or a word, you know, for the word prosperity, it also means successfulness or being successful. And so God wants us to succeed in every area of our life. God didn't plan one failure in your life. We experience failures when we don't follow God's lead or His plan or His purpose for our lives. We could actually say that being successful and prosperous in life is connected to being in the will of God. And so total success is found in God. So when we, you know, experience a measure of success, sometimes we can have success without God in our lives. Without God, you know, you look around in life, there's some people who have success, but they're not living for God. They're not working for God. They don't consider God in everything they do, but they look like they're having success. They got money, got a nice car, got properties, they got different things that, you know, I have friends like that. They seem to have, you know, property over here, property there. You know, condo here, they travel everywhere. And then if you read in the scriptures, that's not always the case. Sure, you can have success, a measure of success, by working hard. The Bible tells us we can work hard and have success, even without the Lord in your life, to a certain degree. But when you look at prosperity in the total spectrum, God wants you to have healthy bodies, healthy life, free of, being pulled with stress and distress and freedom from fear and having all the other things that you would enjoy. So total success is found in God because obviously we can experience a measure of success without God being with us, without us being in the exact will of God. Notice what the psalmist said over here in Psalm 127. I'm reading the Good News Bible. He said, if the Lord does not build a house, The work of the builders is useless. It goes on to say, if the Lord does not protect the city, it's useless for the sentries to stand guard. Notice in the first part of that verse, he said, unless the Lord, or if the Lord does not build the house, the work of the builders is useless. It seems that these people had relative success in God, in the natural affairs of life, but they became a dismal failure in spiritual matters or following what God wanted for them. Because you can see, you can have success. Yeah, you got that beautiful young-looking man that you married. Slim, tall, dark, and handsome. He's got a nice car, you know. But who knows what's going to happen after that? We don't know. So you got to fight off all the other women with a big stick. But you know, you have success, all right, but you're not really enjoying it like you have. So you can be successful naturally, but necessarily successful with God. Doing your own thing, many say, it's my life, I can do what I want. They forget that God, through Christ, has brought them freedom and peace. And so they're doing their own thing, they think. And doing their own thing is not God's plan for your life. Concerning answered prayers and following God's plan, let's take a look here. For examples, actually the example of the Israelites, they sought God concerning being like people on the outside of the kingdom of God. They looked at people from outside. They said, oh, look at that guy over there. They're succeeding. They don't have God in their life, but they're having a great time. And so they wanted a king to be like other nations. And they sought God. They began to bug God until God allowed them to do what they wanted to do. How many people know that you can bug God enough, you can continue to bug God, ask Him for this, and pursue seeking something, God can say, all right, you go do what you want to do. God will allow you to. Many of you have already done that. You've sought God, and you got those things, and you found out it's empty. Unless God's in it, you can have no success without God. So, let's go over here and see that example in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 9, the New Living Translation. So it says here, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 9. As Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba, but they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. You know, some people in the house of God are greedy for money, or in the kingdom of God. Are you greedy for money? So they accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss this matter, or the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old, and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. How many people think that's a good thing? Well, seek guidance of the Lord. So, do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. So, how many people sometimes, you know, you say you're a parent. Your kid, you go to your kid, maybe they're 18, 17, I don't know how, could be any age, and say, here's what I want you to do. He said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do this. And then you feel bad. Oh, they're rejecting me. But no, they're rejecting God. God puts you in their life, and that's your child, to be there for guidance, but they're really rejecting rejecting God, really. And when you see that. So, do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They do not want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they're giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. Sometimes you tell people, I'm going to tell you something. You can go that direction, but here's what's going to happen to you. You want to do this? You're asking God for this? Go ahead and marry this person. But these are the things that's going to happen to you. I remember someone very close to me, a Christian person, and I felt very strong. I went up to that person very close to me. I said, listen, I just feel in my heart that God says, don't marry this person. Don't get married to that person. And all through the marriage, they was not happy. But they stayed married. They're still married today. That person never got to fulfill the kingdom of God, things that they wanted to do in the church, never come to church, and went to church for some time, but then fell off because that other person dragged them the other way and wouldn't allow them to fulfill the duties in the kingdom and the church like they should have. And they live lesser for God because they married somebody else they wanted to and did what they wanted to, but they never fulfilled a duty and still not in church today. Because that person would not follow God fully. And so I felt hardened, strong enough to tell that person, but they wouldn't listen. And here was Samuel saying, do as they ask you. But Saul only warned them about the way this king or this person will be reigning over them. And so the prophet Samuel rehearsed what they rehearsed, you know, to what this king would do to them and lay heavy burdens upon them. And as you read some more after verse 9, you'll see all the stuff that this king did were required from them, hard situations. And God said to Samuel, do as they say and give them a king. They have not rejected you, but me. They went out of God's best into a permissive state of God. God was not going to condemn them, but they were still his children, but they went out of the will, the primary will of God. So, go to verse 18, 1 Samuel 8, 18. Samuel 8, 18. When the day comes, you will beg for relief from this king. This is 1 Samuel 8, 18, 22. When the day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding, but the Lord will not help you. But their people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. We want to be like other nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. So Samuel repeated to the Lord what the people had said, and the Lord replied, do as they say and give them a king. And Samuel agreed and sent the people home. It sounds exactly what people are like even today when it comes to success in their lives. They proceed to do what their desires are and not consider what God wants in their lives. And therefore, they get into trouble in their lives. Like some people continually ask God, they know God, what God's will says concerning certain areas because it's written in the Word, and they continue to go out and do whatever they feel they want to do. And so, success is preceded by obeying God. We need to obey God in every matter of our lives. Isaiah 1:19, the God's Word translation says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land of God. God will give you his best when we give him our best. We must always follow godly advice. Over in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it says here, the Common English Bible, the truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit in the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, this person loves the Lord's instructions, and they recite God's instructions day and night. They're like the tree planted by the streams of water, which bears fruit in just as the right time, and whose leaves does not fade. And whatever he does or whatever they do succeeds. This person here follows God. He doesn't follow what the rest of the world says. They don't follow the instructions of people who are not of the kingdom of God. They go to godly advice and take the advice from godly people and that are consistent with God's word. They will succeed in whatever they do. So if you want to succeed in whatever you do, make sure that you're getting good counsel from people. Ask people that will not just be in agreement with you. Go to people who will actually give you sound advice, who will challenge some of the things in your life. Don't just go to people who will say, yes, I agree. Find somebody who will challenge you. And say, well, we consider that. Did you listen to that? Did you do this? Oftentimes, we just go to people who we know is going to give us a yes or a nod and say, okay, you go ahead and do this. So if we're going to succeed, we must follow God in every area of our life. We must not act like the world around us and do whatever we want. We must not take the advice of those who do not follow God, whose values are not consistent with the Word of God. Over here in the Deuteronomy chapter 6, as we conclude our message here tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 12, the New Living Translation says this: "These commands and decrees and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, you must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy." Verse 2, "And you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy long life." And here's a good scripture for long life. If we're going to obey, if we're going to follow this, we're going to have to obey God. You know, I believe, and you know, we should live long, we should live strong, live healthy. I believe that God wants you not just to live old, where you're just kind of like barely making around, barely moving around, can't get out of bed, can't sit down, can't lay down, can't eat, can't see. No, God wants you to be healthy. God wants us to be healthy. I believe that, you know, and I'm believing God for that. How about you? I'm believing God that to be well and live strong, live long. Verse 3 says, listen closely. Hey, he says, Israel, he says, listen carefully, listen closely, and be careful. There's so many people that are careless when it comes to following the plan of God. They just don't care. They say, oh, okay, I can just do what I want. No, listen. Look over your life. Check it out. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised. Verse 4, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Verse 5, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. Verse 6, you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to the commands that I am giving you today. Sometimes, you know, we're following God, we kind of casually about it. Sometimes we need to be more careful and just be astute about the things, because you can be led in another direction without even knowing. Verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you are getting up. That's something I try to do as much as I could when I have the time, when I'm with my family. I just, you know, in a nice way, you know, and just force them, okay, we're going to listen to God's word tonight. We're going to read 7 chapters and read them in various versions. No, sometimes you just take one scripture. And you tell them. I had someone stop me today. I'm taking a walk, and I'm seeing somebody walking. I'm doing my exercise, walking, and somebody says, "Hey, Pastor Roma, come here." And I was trying to evade that, thing, you know, so situation. So they come on. I come over. "Hey, hi, where are you? Yeah. What's wrong with my son?" I said, "I don't know." I don't know what's wrong with him. What's wrong with him? Well, he doesn't listen. He's always preaching hard, very hard, and laying heavy burdens on people. I said, "Oh, we'll try to talk to him." But, you know, we can't just go around telling people, forcing people to listen to us, and if we're not living a life of, you know, in the Lord ourselves. And here's this person, not living for God, living on welfare, critical of everybody, taking everybody's inventory, being critical, you know, and attacking everybody in their family. And you know, we need to love people and tell them that God loves them, not mess them up any further. You know, and so we need to love people in a nicer way. You know, I think when we follow God, we have success. We obey God ourselves. It's easier for people to receive from us. when we've been nice, when we're nice to them, and we can talk to them. We have no, there's no way to tell people something in our lives if you don't have a relationship with them. You can't just walk to find somebody in the hallway here and start telling them what to do. You can't. You shouldn't. And if somebody slaps you, it's maybe your fault. Because you need to have a relationship with somebody, and they know you care for them. If you take them aside and you talk to them, it will all go well with you. Because you can't just go around the mall and telling everybody what to do, and go down the food court and whatever. So listen, let's obey God. Let's mind our own business and let the love of God lead us. Verse 9 says, write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Come on now. So when you go home, you need to write on your doorpost. But if it's not your house, don't write nothing on it. They might have to, Jerry. Jerry, hi, Jerry. Praise God. We said that you lost so much weight, we couldn't find you in the front seat. Okay, so the Lord your God will soon bring you to the land that he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. You know, you read these things. Look at this, verse 11. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from the cisterns you did not dig. You will eat from the vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten and fill your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Now, this is something. Some people have a little bit of success, and they get a good job, and they disappear from church. They disappear from things. They just leave God. Look what I did. Wait a minute, God, you were praying, people were praying for you all along, all those years in university, and they've been helping you out and praying for you and loving you, and now you have success, and now you don't want to come to church. Well, God gave you everything you got, gave you a brain, gave you people who can help you, praise God. Amen? Okay, let's close with this. We've said enough for tonight. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. And thank God for success. Does he want success in our lives? Yes, he does. He wants us to have success in every area of our lives. Spirit, soul, and body. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Lord. Strike up a tune there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Something that you don't know. Hallelujah. I don't know, but in the last several weeks, even months, there seems to be more attack on people than I ever experienced in my whole life as a pastor. I don't know what the heat's been turned up. People are suffering a lot of disease, serious sicknesses, people dying. This morning I woke up early in the morning, about maybe, 5 o'clock. And every time I woke up, all night through night, it seemed like I didn't hardly sleep. Started praying in Holy Ghost, praying for the people of God in this church, praying for families. Praying, I just had an urgency in my spirit to pray for people in this church, just to pray for the people of God, that God's will, that they'd be keen and serious about the things of God. And I began to pray for a family of a lady who was found dead yesterday morning. One of the drug houses here, 40-year-old woman. And my heart went out to them at 5 o'clock in the morning. This person overdosed on drugs. I thought, maybe I can just use one more time. Maybe I can go out one more time. I remember they used to say, Roma, you might go out one more time, but you might not have a recovery. You can try it. He said, you can try it, Roma, but you might never come back again. And sometimes people at church, they say, I don't want to go to church. You know, you might not get another chance to come back to church because you won't go away from church. It's harder to come back after. It's harder to come back. You lose the taste of spirituality and what you need, and you go out and do what you want to do. It's hard to come back and taste the same thing. You have to fight your way, it seems even stronger, to get back into the things of God. Because there's so many things pulling you back. The devil does not want to quit pulling you back into his ways. So you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith and say, no, I'm not going to do that. So I prayed this morning. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, if somebody's sister, maybe somebody's mom or passed away, somebody's daughter, somebody's cousin. And there's so many things happening like this over the last little while. And we need to pray. We need to pray. I want you to consider praying for the situation in our city with the drug addicts in our town. It seems to be the worst thing. If you see the reports, some of the worst things in the Thunder Bay, the highest rate of drug addiction and deaths per capita in the whole Canada, across Canada, right here in Thunder Bay. And pray for those people. Pray for the families. There's moms and dads suffering right this second because their kids out there. Their son is out there. Their husband's out there. Some of them selling their bodies just to get it. I was, when I was in school, a couple of years back, this young man, he's been living on the street in Vancouver for a long, long time. He sat in my classroom, and we talked. He looked like he's doing good. He said to me, I'm going to try this for 1 year. If I don't feel better, I don't think I'm going to stick around. Well, he did stick. He stick for a year. He graduated. He already had a degree in another area, but he came to my course because he wanted to find what he can do with his life. He wanted to find success. His mom was a Christian. His mom prayed him out of that situation. But then he went back out there the other summer before. And he didn't come back. He didn't come back. He never made it back. You know, we need to pray for people. Somebody's son, somebody's brother. And I thank God. Let's do everything we can to help someone, some mom. And I know, we need to believe God that we'll find ways, some clever ways to help minister to these people. These guys will come to the kingdom of God. Some of you in here, maybe a whole lot of you, know someone in your family that's addicted to drugs. Prescription drugs. They all start sometimes with prescription drugs, and they get caught up in that, and they can't stop. Right? We need to believe for those people. And we need to, the devil's doing his best to kill and destroy people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every family in this city, in the name of Jesus. I pray for that young woman's family, whoever they may be. Maybe she has children. I don't know. Maybe she has a husband. Brother and sisters and aunts and uncles and moms and grandmas are hurting right now because of this woman, because she died. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for a healing anointing of God. I don't know what happened in her life, why she was like that, but something wasn't right. So we pray in the name of Jesus for all those people right now across the city that are in this addiction mode right now, that are using drugs, that they can't seem to find their way out. We pray for them. In the name of Jesus, that help, somebody will be there to give help to that person right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you. And we give our lives over to you, Lord God. We say, Jesus, we yield to you. We want to obey whatever you say to do. We give you our lives and whatever you lead us to do. We want to serve you. We want to be success in every area of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. You said that we can have success in every area. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.